The Squiz is a free weekday email and podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. Our weekday podcast is brought to you by CommBank, committed to being a better bank. Find out more at combank.com.au/better.
Good morning, I'm Claire Kimball.
And I'm Kate Watson. It's Friday the 16th of August. In your Squiz today, Hong Kong, the trade war and the markets. Unemployment stuck on 5.2%. Telstra's profit takes a dive. And a diamond-encrusted cocktail shaker. This is your Squiz today. Leading the news yesterday, Claire, were the markets. As the US market tanked, so did many around the world, including ours. If you've listened to any business news in your lifetime, you'll know markets react. What were they reacting to?
They were reacting to a couple of things. The US and China have both had some tricky economic data out this week. Some better news overnight for the US. They had some good retail numbers, so their market has had a slightly better day in trading overnight. But added to that is the market's nervousness around Hong Kong and the political instability there, particularly with China really sort of amping up its rhetoric and also moving some troops by the looks of things to the border, the idea being that either they're gesturing that they might be able to get involved or that they might actually have plans to head over the border to try and quell some of the unrest there.
One of the phrases being thrown around is recession.
It is, and that's a really scary thing. Anyone who has been through a recession knows that that's just bad news, not just for the United States, but for the entire world. That's why people are really looking very closely at what is happening in the details of this. And there was one particular measure yesterday called an inverted yield curve.
I was looking forward to you describing this.
Do you want me to give it a go?
Have a go. Why not?
Okay. So an inversion is just, you know, what it sounds like. It's just when one thing sort of flips over on the other. And there's a bond market in the US that has a 10-year bond and a 2-year bond. And usually the 10-year bond attracts a higher interest rate because you need to make it more attractive for people to put their money there. Mm-hmm. But yesterday that measure flipped over. So the 2-year bond had the higher interest rate. And what that indicates is that there's falling confidence in the short term of the US economy.
Well done.
Give it a go anyway.
And the reason we're talking about the inverted yield curve, of course, is because this is what has happened before every US recession since 1955. Two jobs now, and in July, more jobs were created, but it hasn't helped our unemployment rate.
No, 5.2 is where we're stuck. That is despite, as you say, the creation of quite a few jobs, 41,100 in fact, and that's a measure that the Reserve Bank is watching really closely. It's concerned about what it calls spare capacity in our jobs market, and what that means is that there's more people who are really either able to work more or able to work at all. And until that measure really firms and unemployment comes down some more, the Reserve Bank's going to be worried about that and looking at further interest rate cuts to try and spark our economic growth.
And as part of those stats out yesterday, our gender pay gap remains at 14%. The Pacific Island Forum has wrapped up and a joint declaration has been released. Scott Morrison was pretty keen to keep any reference to the phasing out of coal-fired power out of this declaration. How'd he go?
Kind of a hybrid of that. So yep. Where they've landed after a marathon meeting is that there's a statement that's out, but not any one nation from that Pacific Islands Forum is actually bound to it. So there's the smaller nations acknowledging the climate change crisis, wanting all nations to reduce their emissions targets further and to phase out coal. Australia, of course, very strongly pushing back with Scott Morrison responding to Jacinda Ardern's call that Australia has to answer to the Pacific. He said overnight that actually he's accountable to the Australian people, and that's where that's landed.
Some updates to some of the darker stories across the last week and even months. Questions around the cause of Jeffrey Epstein's death continue unanswered after an autopsy. And on Wednesday next week, the Victorian Court of Appeal will rule on whether to overturn George Pell's convictions. If they are overturned, he will walk free. Telstra has seen its profits drop $2.15 billion in the last 12 months. That's after a $3.5 billion profit last financial year. What's happened?
Yeah, it's a 40% drop in earnings. That's really significant. Yeah. Lots of things happening there, but there's cost to Telstra around this NBN rollout, and they say that that's going to continue to really heavily weigh on its financial performance. One thing of note is that with the release of those figures was also their remuneration report for the year, and CEO Andy Penn has had a 34% salary bump. That sets up a really interesting showdown in October with shareholders at its AGM. Last year, investors voted against that remuneration. And if they get a vote of 25% of shareholders against this year's report, then shareholders can actually move to dump its board.
Stand by. Tiffany is launching its first comprehensive jewellery collection for men in October. They've been doing things like rings and cufflinks for quite some time, but with 100 new designs, this is what you'd call options.
It is options for blokes that do like a bit of bling. And I was surprised to read actually that the men's fine jewellery market reached $5.8 billion last year. So clearly there's a market, and Tiffany being
definitely
one of those fine purveyors of bling, they want to get into it.
So things like ice tongs and beer mugs are included.
Yeah, luxury items. Go. Apparently there's a diamond encrusted cocktail shaker, and who doesn't need one of those?
I was just thinking I need one of those. And Friday Lights, firstly, the trailer for the remake of Little Women is out. I'm doing all I can not to squeal, Claire. We're very excited about this in Squiz HQ. Love the book. Love the 1994 movie that films out in Australia on New Year's Day. And it's nearly 10 years since that moment when Kanye West jumped on stage at the VMAs and grabbed the microphone off Taylor Swift to tell the crowd that Beyoncé should have won Best Music Video.
It was one of those pop culture moments that has lived on, and there's a really interesting link in the Washington Post that really breaks down. Yes, it was something that stole some headlines, and yes, it's something that continues to be made fun of when you're either talking about Taylor Swift or Kanye West. There's an interesting take on how it's actually influenced a decade of pop culture.
And finally, an article from Business Insider that breaks down exactly how much money you need to retire and live comfortably at any given age. It's a little sobering, and it's in US dollars, but you'll get the gist. Huge thanks to everyone who is striving for Squiz Head status. That's something you receive from us when you hit 5 or more referrals. Your unique tracker in your Squiz Today email will tell you how far away you are. Our subscribers telling people about us is the number one way that we grow. So thank you to everyone who's spreading the word. The subject line.
So yesterday when I was reading the report about the unemployment rate, and it was lots of reports about it being stuck on 5.2, the only song I couldn't really get it out of my head was Lionel Richie and the Commodores, Stuck on You.
I reckon there's heaps of songs called Stuck on You. You can interpret that however you want.
Yeah, no, I've only got Lionel Richie. He's the one true Stuck on You, as far as I'm concerned.
As far as Claire's concerned. That's it from us this week. Have a great weekend, and we'll chat to you on Monday. The Squiz is a free weekday email and podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed. Sign up at thesquiz.com.au.